All right, so let's start talking about some pictures and pieces, because that's what we've been talking about. And we'll start here with our foundational scripture, 1 Peter 1:9. 1 Peter 1:9, and hopefully it'll bring it all home for us, and we'll get rolling here. All right. 2 Peter 1:9. I do that every week. I should have changed it in my notes by now, huh? 2 Peter 1:9. It says, but he that, well, 2 Peter 1:5, it says, let's just start with verse 3. According as his power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God wants us to have the things that pertain to our life here on this earth, but and godliness, things in heaven and earth, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. It says, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Called us to glory and virtue. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the picture. That by these we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in this world through lust. So the thought is we've escaped corruption through lust. It says, beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. These are some pieces that we're going to need to get the promises. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and patience, godliness. That's the act of being like God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, that's love. For if these things be in you, these pieces, and abound, that means to remain in you, so they're not just something you visit, there's things that you live. It says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, that's doing without, nor unfruitful, that means you can constantly be producing in your life, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 9 says this, but he that lacketh these things, these pieces, is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from old sins. So he that lacketh these things, all those things listed, is blind and cannot see afar off. Now, again, when it says blind, it's not saying you can't see at all. What it's saying is, like we talked about last week, you have blind spots. There's things that you can't see. So it's not like you can't see at all. There's things that you can't see. And so, you know, we said you don't want to ignore the pieces searching for the picture, so caught up in where I want to go that I'm missing the pieces along the way that's going to make sure I not only obtain, but I maintain and I reproduce. And so last week we spent some time, which I know wasn't a popular teaching, but we talked about don't create blind spots to your pieces. So we talked about, you know, drugs, alcohol, you know, and lust, anything in that category. Stand away from those things that create blind spots. Again, you know, a lot of times we go, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with this because we, okay, so if you have a drink, I wasn't supposed to be talking about this week. I was supposed to breeze through it. But if you have a drink, I don't know if you've ever had a drink, you feel good. So it's not like you ain't going to feel good. So if the goal is whether I feel good or not, have at it. But it's not about your feeling. It's about your sight. That's the key. The key is it's all about sight. So we go, well, I'm not hurting nobody. I'm not getting drunk wearing this excess. Fine. You know, I'm just losing my sight in moderation. I'm just losing my sight in increments, not all at the same time. You know, see, again, it's about seeing. Lust, it's about seeing it. When you participate in any level of lust, you feel good, don't you? I was just thinking about that. Like, so who was going to answer that question? Like, nah, I don't really feel good when I deal with lust. Well, it's painful, man. I just can't take it. No, you feel good. But it's not about how you feel. When you decide to eat the 17th Krispy Kreme donut, it tastes good, don't it? Thanks. So I got a year right here. The rest of y'all, y'all know what Krispy Kreme donuts is? Some of y'all make sure you get in there when the light on, you know, when the light on, when they hot, It tastes good, but the thing is not about. See, the feeling is the voice of your flesh. So it's not about how you feel. I'm not saying. Listen, I've had a Krispy Kreme donut before. I haven't had one in a long time because now at this age, Krispy Kreme donut gonna put on weight quick. So I can't do all the things that I want to do, right? So again, it's not about your feeling. Then now we talk about drugs and alcohol. And of course, there's smoking and you know, it's getting nice. I don't know what they call it now, but back we call it nice. Actually, we used to call it getting blind. Yo, we got blind last night, boy. Think about what we were saying. Yo, what y'all do last night? Oh, man, we got blind. So we actually labeled it that back in the day, getting blind, and thought we was doing something. But I want to add a little piece here. You got to watch your medications, too, because, again, it's still drugs. Yeah. Ain't that right, Terrence? So that means it still can blind you. But you're saying, but it's helping something. So we always crack when we see the commercial, because the commercial tells you what it helps. But this is what I mean by blind spots. How come you don't hear all that other stuff? You could be bleeding, like chronic bleed. And then some of it, I've been listening to the more recent commercial, can cause death. Or you may commit suicide. And think about it, what you thinking? Now, I just want this relief. Worst thing that happened is it could cause death. But you notice it doesn't say how it can cause death. It just said it may cause death. So, and you ain't even asking the question now, what triggers the death part? You just go, oh, it could take care of my bloating? So you ain't bloating, but you're about to die. Right, so I'm just saying, keep all these things in mind. But what it doesn't tell you is it creates blind spots. Right? It creates blind spots. So again, we said you don't want to do something to create blind spots. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with that. And we said, but we did say that this, when you take in lust, they magnify the negative, promote fear, and foster unbelief. So what happens is, whereas normally you might breeze through the negative, you're amplifying the negative because you've taken in stuff that's creating a blind spot from the way of escape or how to get out of it. So all you see is what's attacking you or what's trapping you, right? Or the worst case scenario. Because what happens is drugs, like when I used to do drugs, it's like, not only do you deal with the situation, but you get you can be tempted to hallucinate. So that means now there's other false evidence appearing real. There's pictures you start to see. You start to, they don't like me. They ain't thinking about me. They're probably outside the door ready to shoot me. Ain't nobody outside. Right? But your imagination starts to wonder. I know they said that because now you done created a whole picture. They said that because they don't like me and they trying to sabotage me. They found out what I did 7 years ago. And yeah, they probably sent them here as a spy. Really? They're paying spies to sabotage your life now, right? Right? But I'm saying you start to go through all these things, and so it magnifies the negative, and then it promotes fear, and it fosters unbelief. And unbelief, 2 Corinthians 4:4, blinds you. They're blinded through unbelief, right? So unbelief does what? It blinds you. Soon as you, if you don't believe, you go blind, right? And so we said unbelief creates blind spots. So fear, false evidence, appear real, tries to keep us in darkness so we can't see the pieces. Tries to keep us in darkness so we can't see the pieces. It's almost like dealing with a hologram. So, I'm a movie guy. You watch movies and they have a hologram. So the person goes to try to tackle the person, but it's a hologram. It's not real. It's a picture of something. So Robert was doing a guy talk, and he talked about, he uses basketball, but he talked about false motion. So the way he broke it down is like, so you run a play, and the defense has been scouting you, so they know when they got this set, they run in this play. So what you do is you set up something that creates false motion. So it looks like you're doing something, so you want to get them to react to something when the whole time you're doing something else, right? And so he says you don't want to get caught up in a false motion. But I was thinking, because he ain't know what I was had already prepared for the day, but I was thinking about the false evidence appearing real. You know, it's like it's it's trying to create false motion. You know, it's trying to create you to do something. You know, as I always tell players, all right, so actually me and Phil was talking about this the other day. So I said, okay, so if you're on this side of the court and the player's open over there, your temptation is try to throw it right to the player, but you got to throw it to two or three people, and you can't throw a great pass, and you might throw a lob pass, but by the time the pass get there, the defense can recover. I said, so what you do is, I know that guy's open, so now you attack. You create false motion, right? You attack. Everybody comes to you, and you give him a free shot. And it looked like, wow, he saw that guy out of nowhere. No, he didn't. He knew the guy was there the whole time. He just created false motion to draw the defense to free somebody up, right? That makes sense, right? Right? All right, so you got to watch getting caught up in the false motion. See, the thing is, we're trying to fight to see. This is the key. We always talk about fighting to see. So don't let your lack of awareness, that means your ability to focus, lead you into the intimidation of manipulation. See, so when I'm not focused, or when it's hard for me to focus, or when I can be easily overwhelmed, so focus is a attribute of sight, right? You know, so if when you think focus, those cameras are right there, they have a focus on them. So it helps us to see closer or clearer. Right? So if I'm out of focus, that means I'm not seeing clearly. But I am seeing something, right? But I'm just not, you know, that's why we have corrective lenses, right? And so when you struggle with focus, and some of us have been struggling for focus since we were young, but never did anything to correct our vision, right? You know, so, you know, I remember for a while, my son was playing basketball probably all the way up to his senior year. We didn't know he couldn't see. So I said, son, how you been making all these shots? He said, Dad, I was just shooting at both of the baskets. Ain't that what he said? I was like, you mean all this time? I mean, he was a starting shooting guard on his team. He had went to camps. Before his senior year, he was an all-star in Blue Chip camp. He was an all-star in the Metro camp, right? So he did all that before he got contacts. I was like, man, how is you? So what it is he compensated. So he got so used to, well, I just shoot at both of them. You know, I just reach in the net at both of the goals. Yeah, he was making those shots. Right, but, you know, again, he was, with technique, was helping, right? So, but he got corrective lenses. He said, what did he say? He said, man, I feel like I can see, like, wow, it's like a whole world out here. This stuff I've been missing. Stuff he'd been missing that just appeared or was already there. Right. So focus is important. Being able to see is important. And so what happens sometimes is we've trained ourselves, like my son, he trained himself to not to live missing things. In the early years, we used to have we have misunderstandings now in our life. Missed understanding. We talked about that, right? Which is the effect of not seeing too, right? Or not understanding. So we have misunderstandings. But let's take it way back when misunderstandings was escalating into crazy, okay? You know, these first couple years of our marriage. But we discovered something. Some of the misunderstandings because she couldn't see. Remember? I'm not saying all of them, but there was some situations where it'd be early in the morning and she thought my face was a certain way. Now, when I'm looking at her, when you look at her right now, you don't know how she sees, right? As far as you're concerned, she sees just as clearly as you do. But she was like, well, baby, be honest with you, I couldn't see your face. I was like, really? All this time. I had no idea. But what it was is she was living missing something. Now, I said that to say some of us have tolerated the lack of focus. We've excused the lack of focus. We've almost said, hey, Terrence, like, now you know good and well it's hard for me to focus. So what am I telling you? Leave me alone. Don't challenge me and don't stretch my ability to focus. Right? Leave me here with these blind spots. Because you bother me every time you say something or do something that's placing a demand on my ability to focus. See, all I got to do is say, hey, it's your responsibility to figure out how for me to focus, or it's your responsibility to almost expect me not to see. Based on the statement, now you know it's hard for me to focus. Or you're overwhelming me. Now, overwhelming is what happens. You shut down your focus, right? Because what's happening? Oh, this is good. When I went to, I told you I was farsighted in this eye. I don't wear glasses, don't wear contacts. But I did go to the eye doctor way back in college. And when he put that lens in where I was supposed to see, I jumped out that machine. That's how excruciating that pain was. When I was a kid, I had migraines. The pain was like getting a migraine. Now, I'm just sitting in a, you know, when you sit in and they got the machine and you put your eyes in and they keep putting in lenses. When they put the lenses in for me to see, listen to what I'm saying. They put the lens in for me to see, the pain was so excruciating, I jumped out the machine. He said, what's going on? I said, man, that's painful. He said, you have sight in that eye. Listen, y'all, you have the ability to focus. He says, when you was a kid, you're supposed to wear a patch over your eye, on the eye that could see. I said, yeah, how'd you know that? He says, because they wanted you to train the other eye, to exercise the other eye to focus. It was going to be uncomfortable for a while, but eventually you would have exercised it to a point where your sight would have kicked in. He says, since you have not done it, your whole body is compensated for the lack of sight. Basically, there's some things you can't see. But you've been able to function with the inability to see. Not see. Right? Certain senses have heightened, but there's still some things I'm missing. Y'all ain't hear what I said. There's still some things I'm missing. There's some things right over there I can't even see right now. Right? And you say, well, yeah, it's behind you. Yeah, but there's stuff you're supposed to pick up in your peripheral. There's some things over here I can see. Even looking this way. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you or us. We can't allow ourselves not to be able to see. This has happened recently. You picked up a book and you said, you know, I'm going to take myself to another level. I'm going to read a little more. But something happens where it gets overwhelming. It's kind of hard to figure out. It's kind of hard to break down. So what's the temptation, Terrence? Yeah, put that thing down. Look. But you ain't going to say it like that, right? You'll be like, I'll get back to it. You ain't picked that thing up yet. 2 years have gone by. You still ain't picked it up. Because what? It was a little overwhelming. You might have had to bring a dictionary along. Right? You might have had to read a sentence over and over and over until you got it. You might have had to break down the sentence until you understand it. Then you could pick up momentum and continue reading the book. But since you've already trained yourself, if it's overwhelming, I automatically get a pass. I don't have to research or study it. Oh. You know I'm not a reader. Woo! Well, see, think about it. What does that say? Don't challenge me to read. Don't ask me to read. And if I'm not getting the information because I haven't read, I still get grandfathered in. Because I'm not a reader. So somebody comes out the womb, Robert, and they're readers? That's like, you know, this is like you come out the womb and you're left-handed. Same deal, right? It's just like having arms and legs and a head and eyes, right? No, these are things you learn. Focus is something that you, like with the kids, you have to take them through certain exercises to focus. You got to take them through certain exercises to stimulate their brain, to start to get them to speak. Same thing with speaking in tongues. There's a practice. There's things, so these are things, you know, when you have children, these are things that you're training them to do. Do you know you have to train them to coordinate? I had kindergarten and first grade PE when I first started working for the church. And you know, because I did research, because I was like, I gotta treat these kids right. I can't just be like, we're gonna run and play kickball. Now, I researched that this is the age where they learn certain things. So I bought, if you remember, I bought like the tumbling things to teach them how to tumble, some certain things to teach them how to hurdle, to teach them how to coordinate, how to stimulate parts of them that they're supposed to learn at that age. Now, some of us skip this. You're still talking about focus, y'all. But that doesn't mean it's over because you skipped it. Because as far as God is concerned, it's still needed. You have to challenge yourself. So, see, education, learning, developing, reading, all these things, something so simple has been the most challenging for us in our life. And we almost shut it down. Oh, this is the one. Honey, we're going to have a conversation about the budget. That means we're going to go through figures and numbers and establish a plan. I bet. As soon as I get a chance. A year done went by. Y'all still ain't had that conversation. Because it's intimidating because you've been running. Not intimidating because you can't focus on it. You've chosen to run. You figured a way out of it for years. I don't want you to be 70 years old and when the numbers come to you, you're like, now you take care of that. Good job. That's why I hired you. Otherwise, interpret it because I ain't know what that said. It catches up to you. Right? It catches up to you. And so, full service church, we're not trying to get it to catch up. We want to get you to get focused. So, because you got to see the pieces. That's why we got to challenge ourselves to do the uncomfortable. This young man, he wasn't a young man, he's older than me, but he was hired at the church. And so everybody kept trying to get him to be automated. So, because we didn't realize everybody's turning in reports either through via email or through the computer. He turned in a written report. So when he turned in a written report, what happens when he gave me the report? No, none of that. I had to type it all up to submit it with the rest of my reports so it can harmonize with all the other information. But he just kept turning. And so I pulled him to the side. I said, listen, man. I said, if you want, I'll help you. I said, I'll show you the home keys. I'll show you everything. I said, it's not as hard as you think. Then I had another friend that gave free courses. He said, if anybody want to learn, I said, man, I could get... No, see, you know, where I'm at, I don't really need that. You don't need that for you, but you need it to harmonize with us. But it's uncomfortable because I haven't done it. Well, it takes humility to do something you haven't done before or to do something where you're going to mess up, Ed. You're going to feel like a child. But then the scripture says, come to the kingdom as little children. You're going to feel like a child, but guess what? It won't last long. Eventually, you're going to master it. I was a guy. I kept stuff in my head. I'm a math guy. So they kept telling me to get planners and computers and stuff like that. I was like, nah, I'm good. I keep it in my head. Numbers, everything. Sometimes I still do that. But and then one day, God said, Keith, if you get all this other stuff out your head, all these numbers and all this plans and everything, you got everything in your head. He said, I can put some revelation in there. I was like, wow, I ain't thought about that. So I started getting all that information and putting it on something. Right? When I first started using the computer, all I used was the schedule. That was it. All the other stuff I kept in my head. But I put everything in the computer. I got all my notes. I got every note. I got everything I've developed since the 90s. I got it all on computer. So I don't have to remember all the stuff. I just go reference it. Right? So challenging yourself to do the uncomfortable. Man, the word, getting through the word, reading the word, studying the word, it is uncomfortable. But because you say you don't have to doesn't mean you don't have to, because the interest of the word bring of light gives understanding to the simple. It helps you to focus. Helps you to see stuff that you could never see. Helps you to be stuff that you could never be. Helps you to do stuff that you could never do. All right, so keep that in mind. So the scripture says in 2 Timothy, let's go there real quick. 2 Timothy. So we're trying to fight to see and get focused and get out of the false evidence of appearing real or False motion. Actually, so y'all go to 2 Timothy 1, and I was thinking about this with the whole false motion. I made a note for myself yesterday when you were talking, Robert. To me, false motion is like living in the Matrix, right? So in the movie The Matrix, the life that they were living was within a program, sort of like a video game, special ops or whatever. So there's a lot of action going on in the game, or NBA, 2K or whatever. There's action going on the computer in the game. And it's the way they do it now is so virtual reality, it wants you to feel like you doing this, like you really there. But you're not. It's a game. It's a program. You're not doing nothing. You're not dunking like that. You're not shooting like that. It's got to a point now, Robert will tell you this, that some people will play video games before they go play games and think they're going to simulate what they did playing. Only thing you stimulated is your brain. Your physical body wasn't doing nothing. It wasn't doing no habits at all. But you're going to feel like you did do it. False motion, right? Because you ain't false motion, no motion. Right? Because you ain't really doing nothing, right? And so the Matrix movie, if you go back and look at the trilogy, everything they were doing, look, they was accomplishing goals, purchasing houses, getting promotions, getting props. Guess what? But none of it was real. It was all a program. When they got out of the Matrix, they start dealing with reality. And see, the thing is, a lot of times, we're living false motion a lot of times. We think we're getting props, we're gaining ground. And you know, when you ever see people, like, they fall or they go through stuff and it's hard for them to recover? Because they thought, man, I gave my life to this and I achieved this great level only to lose it all. But the trip is they never had it all. It was a program. It wasn't real. God wants you to get something real. So some of y'all are like in the movie The Matrix, there was a character, his name was Lou Cipher. That was his name. Lucifer. No, but his name was Lou, L-O-U, Cipher was his last name. But if you're seeing, you picked it up. Lucifer, why they use that character for that? So he goes back into the Matrix, backs into what's not reality. And then so he's eating a steak. He says, I know I'm eating a steak and it's not real. But I don't care. I'm enjoying it anyway. That's a lot of us. That you somebody tells you reality, get you out of the blind spots, but you're like, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay in this false motion. I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Those are the people that you see downtown sleeping on a park bench. Some of those people sleeping on the park bench was you at one time. But they said, I'm going to do this false motion. You ain't tell me nothing because this seems easier. It's a lot less discipline. And it looks like I'm gaining ground. And then when the reality hit, they had invested most of their life in false motion. So now they're on the park bench because they're like, man, I don't even have any more energy to achieve my dreams. But you looking at them like, man, why is this dude begging me for money, man? No, that dude was you at one time. Stubborn, prideful, in denial. You got to put your hand in the toilet, go, yeah, it does stink. I mean, I know you told me it stinks, but, you know, I don't trust people. I find out for myself. That stuff stink. This is nasty. I know it's kind of gross, but that's how a lot of us are rolling. You're not going to embrace the reality until it smack you in the face. And sometimes it's too late then. All right, so 2 Timothy 1. We're talking about pictures and pieces, and we don't want to be clouded from the pieces because even if we get to the picture, it's going to be temporary. Right? Because we don't have all the pieces to sustain it or to maximize our time there. So 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So false evidence appearing real, right? Worry, Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, be worried for nothing, right? If you are worried, that didn't come from God. So you know, either I've exposed myself too much to the flesh, the world, or the devil. If your first responder is fear. Again, that's not putting no one down. That's not saying you, I'm not calling no one the devil. What I'm saying is you can measure yourself based on that. You know, like sometimes if you take on the wrong, let's say if you're allergic to something and you start breaking out in hives, you know you ate the wrong thing, right? Are you a devil? Are you evil? No, you just ate the wrong thing. So we're saying instead of breaking out in hives, you're breaking out in fear. You know you done ate the wrong thing, right? So what are you going to do? Keep eating it? You breaking out, man. You know, you're swelling up all over the place, right? Fear all over you, right? So that's what it is. So God is not giving you a spirit of fear, but look, this is what comes from God. Power, the ability to do, the want to, love, selflessness, right? This is the key. And a sound mind, clear thinking mind. So if my mind is confused, if I'm overwhelmed easily, that didn't come from God. That's not from a life with God. If you're overwhelmed easily, if you're running from challenge. If the problem, every time a problem shows up, your first response is, it's a problem. Something wrong. Because a clear thinking mind is like an eagle. Now, eagles are noted for a lot of things, but one good thing about eagles, they can see, man. I mean, I'm talking about from thousands of feet in the air, they see pinpointly their prey. Thousands, like plane levels. The reason why is because eagles are all about elevation, and they can see a storm before we even know it's coming. And they don't go running. They don't panic. They get excited. Woo! About to go to another level. Storm coming. Because they know that storm creates a wind that they can rise up with. And they can, when they get to those altitudes, they can soar. They can just float. Sparrows, on the other hand, first of all, they can't even see as far as the eagles. They're always looking over their shoulder for a storm. Because they want to run. So are you a sparrow or an eagle? You see what I'm saying? So again, a sound mind, a clear thinking mind, is the ability to focus and see the pieces to get to the picture in the midst of storms, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of clouds. So that's why we have to fight to see. Another version of this says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice or craven, that's gutless, or cringing, shrinking, and fawning, that's crawling. Fear. But he has given us the spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind, discipline and self-control. So that's what's come from God, right? Clear thinking. My wife was telling my granddaughter something one time. She was in a situation where it was getting, she was just dealing with stuff at a young age. And so my wife said, well, sweetheart, you got to press past the pain. She says, on the other side of pain, there's peace, there's joy, there's love, right? There's love, you know, so they got this little thing. You got to press past the pain. So we have to press past the uncomfortableness. When I had that sight in my eye, yes, it was painful, but it wasn't for me not to gain sight. It was just hard. It was going to be harder to gain it. I was going to have to deal with some pain. I was going to have to be uncomfortable. And so on the other side of that pain, you'll find the pieces to your picture. This is Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good. This is Romans, let's go here. It's Romans 8:28. So I'm trying to paint a picture here for you with the pieces, if you allow me. It says, and we know, Romans 8, verse 28. It says, and we know, and we're sure. We have an unction. It's not a guessing, it's a knowing. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to, that's in harmony with his purpose or his picture, right? So if we're in harmony with the picture that God has painted for us, everything that's happening works together for us to get to that picture. all the other pieces. Now, again, I know we've been talking about pieces and pictures, and the pieces aren't always positive. They're not always great pieces, but they still work together for good. So we went to New Jersey a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I started seeing stuff that I really forgot about. And so, you know, my wife was driving, we were talking, and so she was hearing all the stories. But I remember it was a lot of embarrassment growing up. Like, I was embarrassed a lot. It's school time right now, so it's first day of school. The goal is with young kids, especially your parents, you know, you go to school, you deal with the peer pressure of first day is first week of school, what you got new? Clothing, right? Like, what you got? You know, now I guess it's clothing, phones, tablets, whatever, but I'm just saying is what you got, what you show up with the first day of school. Well, see, it wasn't good for me. I wasn't all excited about the first day of school, because I didn't have nothing. Even what I had new was embarrassing. I had new pants that was high waters up to here, or what we call floods. Like, dude, man, you about to drown, man. And you know, people in Newark be cracking jokes, man. You about to drown. You know what I'm saying? So, like, dude, man, you about to, yo. People start walking up to you like this. Why you walking like that, man? I'm trying to get up off all that water. Right? Really? Really, babe? Was it that funny? You picturing it, ain't you? Right. So I was telling her, so we was in the house. So I lived in one house, and the next block over is where I spent all the time playing football and stuff. So I told we was talking about the story of when I got these roach killers. So that's what we call them, roach killers, pointy toe shoes. So not like, those are sweet, not like kind of like the Stacey Adams, Oxford, those are sweet. No, these was like pointy toed, come on, this is the 70s, wasn't no flavor to these shoes, right? And so when Buster Browns, yeah, remember Buster Browns? Oh, there you go. So when she gave me the shoes, the lady that raised me, yeah, I remember the story, I'm just saying it for effect. All right, so when she gave me the shoes, I must have had a dejected countenance. I probably had a like, are we serious? Like, I probably was ready to cry. Like, I'm already dealing with a lot of heat, but now you're going to give me these shoes, and I got to wear these shoes to school? Come on, I'm already dealing with floods. I'm going to have floods and some roach killers. So they can see the floods, they can see the roach killers easier because ain't no pants covering them, right? So, and then that's when bell bottles was out. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh man. Maybe she thought she was really, I can't wait till I give him these shoes. He's gonna be happy. But because I wasn't, it was like she was bothered. And her, without me saying nothing, well, you gonna wear these shoes so they have holes in them. Man, so now I only gotta wear these shoes. Cause you know, back then, you remember the cheap shoes last forever. You weren't wearing those heels out. Like, if I wore them to school, I'd have had those shoes right now. I'd be wearing these shoes right now. Because they were like polyurethane, some type of steel sole, like nothing. You wore them things down. So now I told you I was an intellect. So now I got to come up with a strategy. This was my strategy. I'm going to wear those shoes every day. I'm going to ball in those shoes. Basketball. They were black. The shoes was black. I just want to let y'all know, because we was talking about this. So imagine I got these black roach killers. I got cut off shorts, jean shorts, and you know, the tube socks came up to here. Remember the tube socks with the three colors? Yeah, and it was kind of thick. So I had the tube socks, but I had the roach killers. And I'd be coming to the basketball court. I don't know how I had traction, but I used to ball in them shoes. And I played football in them shoes. And the guys would be like, watch out, man. Watch out for those roach killers, you know. So I'd be running, because they call me the juice, right? So I'd be running, and I had my little roach killers, you know, in the mud. You see mud, you see me, you know, slashing the mud. I mean, so, because I had to wear those shoes out, Terrence. But I also had to change my mindset, right? I'm going to be embarrassed, and I better eat it now. So I'm going to get all the roach killer jokes. Get that ant for me in that corner over there, Key. I'm going to get all the roach killer jokes. You know, you're the only one that can get it, man. You can get in that corner with those shoes. Right? what I'm trying to say is, it was, but that was a piece. Because, look, that's what my wife was saying. My wife was like, because my wife, when we first met, she's like, well, babe, that's embarrassing. I was like, I don't care what they think. But now, when we went home, I realized what I got there from. As you grow in a church and you're doing what God tells you to do, it could be embarrassing because you ain't keeping up with everybody else. Like, some of y'all be like, well, nah, I'll wait till we, like, sweet, sweet. Then I'll invite somebody. Because you worried about being a, so that person missing out on the word that they need to get, all because, you know, we're not the latest style. You get what I'm saying? That was a piece. All right, so then one of the guys that I was raised with, he said something. He said, Keith, think about it. You probably don't even remember this. We had some of the craziest, toughest people in our neighborhood. He said, there was pockets of people that either had committed murder, robbed banks, and stuff like that. He said, so us just navigating through the streets, we had to pay attention to where we were at. So I told the story how there was a corner house. So on each of my corners, the oldest brothers in that those families, I remember this, they had robbed banks. The youngest brother on the top corner, the oldest brother could have been 30. The youngest brother was like 8. He's the punk people. Why? Because the house is right across the street from the playground, and people would be thinking about what? Well, if I do something, his brother might shoot me or something. You know, I'm a kid. So when I went to the store, I never went to the corner. Y'all probably remember this. So I went in, my friend's back, it was Leonard Neal. I remember Leonard Neal, I'll just give you some shout out. I went in his backyard, climbed the wall, and then went to the store. But that was like normal. That wasn't even like, that was, we never went to the store straight down the street into the corner. It was always navigating to some yard to avoid somebody taking your money. So somebody just don't understand, don't like me, or somebody, you know, so I'd be out there. I remember I'd just be out there in the basketball court, and she would be on the other end. And one time, a dude was trying to be physical, so I went to clear him out of the hole, but he slipped and dropped down, so I caught him in his neck. So he hit the floor, jumped up like this close. I was like, man, I wasn't nobody trying to hurt you. I just, you know, that was my response. But on the other end of the court, to her, it was like, oh, they about to fight. Because his boys was like, yo, man, what you going to do? I was like, man, stop all that noise, man. Now, this is on my end of the court. I'm like, man, stop all that noise, man. I ain't mean to, you all right? But I wasn't going, oh, my God, we going to fight. What I'm trying to tell you is it helps you as you get older to navigate through some situations. But we running from the uncomfortable. Not knowing that that's a piece to help you with where you're going. God's trying to prepare you for something. He may be challenging your focus now because you're going to need it later. But you're running from focus now. So God said, I can't take you where I want you to go because you ain't ready. You can't handle it. Soon as it get overwhelming, you're going to blow the whole thing up. Right? So that's why God puts us in these positions. So it takes humbling courage to endure the hurdles racing towards the harvest. It takes a humbling courage to endure the hurdles racing towards the harvest. I was watching the movie, I think it's King Arthur. I think that's the name of it. And so they put him in a situation where he had to go back and look at his past, his dreams. And so when he came up out of the dream state, while he was facing his fears, they asked him this. They said, did you see everything or did you look away? Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. The question was, did you see, in other words, what we took you back to was traumatic. It was potentially overwhelming, and it was going to take you out of focus because it was fearful. Did you embrace all of it, or did you look away? Or did you shut down? And so, then the response was, we've all been tempted to look away. He says, that's the difference between, and in the movie it says, between a man and a king. The difference between a person that's normal and a person that receives the things of God is the person that's willing to embrace it all, but the person that's looking away, pretending it's not there. That's what look away is, right? It was there, but If I didn't see it, I'm not accountable to it. So God is asking, did you embrace everything that I sent to you, or did you look away? Did you take full responsibility for everything that I put around you, or have you been looking away? Have you been tending because you didn't embrace it, or because you don't want to be responsible for it because you don't think it's necessary? It's not necessary. See, in the movie, he wasn't going to get to the next level until he embraced every ounce of what was uncomfortable for him. Still think I'm talking about King Arthur, right? Right? See, this is the thing. Fear tries to intimidate us from embracing the unpleasant pieces in our life. That's why God isn't giving us a spirit of fear, because God wants us to embrace whatever they throw at us. Bring it. Bring it. I'm not uncomfortable. Bring it. It might be something as subtle as, now you're in a situation where now you got to represent what you say you believe. But the people that you're around, they have a higher profile. They have a bigger financial footprint. So surely you don't want to talk about Jesus around them, because they're so confident that it don't take all that. I was listening to one person talk about how they flow. This person is married to a pastor. How they flow is different from the pastor. Well, you know, because I just flow different because my flow is just different, you know. And you know, I want to show how you can be different and still represent. But I'm not going to do it. I was going to play it, but my wife, I'll play it maybe next week. My wife played a video this morning. She was talking about sin. She's talking about the new birth, and the video was it was the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. So people were actually on a boat at that point. It was two separate waters. No. It was a dirty side and a clear side. And they wouldn't merge. They wouldn't merge. Just look it up. This is reality. This is not... Because two different bodies of waters, clear divine line, and wasn't no line out there. Wasn't like nobody wasn't no dam out there. The waters would not merge. So she used it to explain that the clear waters is Christians, and the dirty waters is people that live in the world. It should be a clear designation of who's who. It shouldn't be a blending in. That's what the Bible says. Come out from among them and be ye separate. It doesn't say be ye separate and leave them to hell. It doesn't say that. It says be ye separate so they can see their way out of hell. If you blending in, how do they get out? You jump in the quicksand, you're both gonna sink. Right? So again, that's what the purpose is. James chapter 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into different tests and trials. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So again, what it's saying is, don't let fear intimidate you from embracing the unpleasant pieces. These different tests and trials is going to work some things out for you. In the movie King Arthur, which I thought was good, at the end, his biggest challenge was this dark spirit or whatever. And his guy had asked him earlier, man, how did you survive? Because he had thought he had died. And so at the end, he said, how did I survive? He said, you asked me how did I survive? What got me through? He says, basically, he was saying, all that you put in my way. He said, you created me. He said, because you did so much to try to take me out, it created the person that I am now. So you're wondering how I showed up and I'm able to take you out. But if you didn't take me through all I went through, I wouldn't be who I am. I probably would just be intimidated. He had to embrace all the pieces, though. So God is trying to, he's allowing things. See, the scripture says, no temptation is taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. With the temptation, he'll make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Okay. Thanks, Phil. All right, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, challenge me, intimidate me. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure or get overconfident. So for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So we keep asking, Lord, man, remove this from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, when I get out the way, I'm all filled with him. So a lot of things that we're trying to get around, God wants us to embrace because he's trying to prepare us for some things. So don't let distractions or anything other from the kingdom cloud you from the pieces. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these pieces shall be added unto you. And the adversary is working so hard to let things distract you from the pieces. I'm going to close out with this section, but I do want to give you this. Go to Psalm 135. Because you say to yourself, okay, see, again, distractions cloud us or create blind spots from the pieces. And so if we handle some things, we keep a clear mind and we fight through the distractions and we're able to see the pieces, right? We keep a clear mind and we fight through distractions so we'll be able to see the pieces. All right, so Psalm 135, verse 17. It says, they have eaten, hold on a second. Verse 15. So the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. He's talking about the things that men worship. It says, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusted in them. Trusted in things created by man, right? It says, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi, right? So what it's saying is, one of the things that distract us from the pieces or what God has planned for us is things we idolize. So worshiping idols will cause us to go blind, deaf, and dumb. Worshiping idols. So things made by man. He didn't say don't have things. But when you start to worship, in other words, like, what is worship? Things that we invest more time, resources, and energy in, besides God. You're worshiping that thing. When you're living for it, you're worshiping it. Because it takes an investment. You know, you can't say you love God, but you invest your life. You know, measure your life. Write down what you spend your time doing. Write down what you spend most of your energy doing. And see what's on that list. Is it things that connect you, bring you closer to God? Or is it things that make you more comfortable with their stuff? And see, so that's going to distract. It's going to affect your ability to see. That's why it says you don't worship idols. Deuteronomy 4:23-24, just for the sake of time, so I can finish this section and I don't have to talk about it next week, and you have this scripture reference for yourself. So Deuteronomy 4:23-24, it says this. It says, take heed unto yourself, take heed, stay focused, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you graven images. So it says, the things, if you start to create your own idols and things that you will worship, whether it's your business, your job, whatever, it says, or the likeness of anything which the Lord God has forbidden thee, It says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So we start to forget the covenant or the, see, what the covenant is the picture plus the pieces. What the covenant is, when you look at the covenant God, is the picture plus the pieces. It's God's promises, but you actually obtaining the pieces. So us doing our part, right? So it's a covenant. God has a side, what he promised you. You have a side to make sure you pick up the pieces, but you can't see the pieces if you don't see the pieces. You can't pick up the pieces if you don't see the pieces. So when those things emerge, that's God's covenant. So God said, don't forget the covenant. And by worshiping, that means hungering and thirsting after idols or rings and things. Remember, they put together the golden calf with rings and things, right? Give me your earrings and things like that. That's how they put together the golden calf. Now, again, we're not building golden calves, but if we worship rings and things in a whole nother way. And so when we start to do that, we'll lose sight of the covenant, the what God promised. Should be our incentive, what? To get the pieces. But if we get caught up in worship and other things, we'll lose sight. We'll get clouded. We'll get blinded. We'll start get caught up in the false motion, right? Because there is motion, but it's not leading us to fulfillment, which is in covenant. It's leading us to emptiness or vanity, is what it says in Ecclesiastes. And God doesn't want that for us. And so, you know, lately we've been having teachings, and God is setting things up with the teachings. He's trying to give us advanced information. So I've been ministering to some people in state and out of state, and I keep referencing the previous information. So we'll get into this next week. But when God gives us information through his word, his covenant, remember, his covenant is directness to the pieces. The information is forward information. So you're getting information today that you're going to need this week, this month, or whatever. I can go back and show you some of the stuff you're dealing with, some of the stuff you revealed, and some stuff you're hiding. Because, you know, sometimes when we make decisions, we want to justify the decision. Like, if you commit to something, what's our tendency as human beings? Even if it starts going wrong, what's your tendency? Well, it's not really going wrong. Because why? You committed to it. You might have fought for it. You might have justified it. You made an argument to make this decision. Now, humility is, I know I fought for it. I remember we had a big discussion. I was fighting for something. I won. And the Lord said, you wrong. I had to go back to her and say, okay, I was wrong on this one. But all my momentum was what? This got to work because I've already invested in it. But you got to be able to cut your losses and realize, okay, I'm off on this one. And so what God is trying to do is he's trying to give us the information to let us know exactly what's gonna confirm we're going in the right direction to fulfillment. And so some of you have been dealing with stuff in the last few weeks. Ever since God said, if you're with me, watch what happens. If you're not, if you have stepping, watch what happens. Be honest with yourself. What's happened since that statement? But blind spot is, this ain't got nothing to do with that statement. Or you didn't even remember it until I just brought it up. But if you start to look at it, God has been saying, like, do you understand God has a plan and a timing? And he's trying to get some things done? Whether you believe him or not. So he's given us this forward information. And, you know, some people will walk out of here in their stubbornness and go, that doesn't apply to me. Or I'm at a level where I don't have to do that. Otherwise interpreted, I don't want to be focused. I don't want to be disciplined. I don't want to challenge myself to get outside my comfort zone. And I respect that because it's hard for me to tell you what I know you don't want to hear. But again, once again, that would be me being in denial. God told me something clearly. I'm going, well, I ain't telling them that. That ain't popular. They go over to such and such church, they ain't going to tell them that. I might push them to such and such church because such and such church is all good. Everybody can come from the club and it's all good because ain't nobody going to say nothing about that. As long as you're giving. Yeah, you can do whatever you want as long as you're giving. Well, you know, drinking, sminking. You know, did you give? Yeah. Now you don't, you know, as long as you do it moderately. I'm sorry. I know some things are not popular, but we are lying if we say we care about you and we don't tell you the truth. And again, it's just. Okay, God told me this morning. I should have brought my journal. He said, Keith, he says, okay, so I appreciate you being obedient and you shared this information. So he said, okay, there was a stage where I said, okay, if I just wanted to show them reset. I just wanted everybody to reset. Some people did, some people didn't. The next stage would be, oh, well. He said, Keith, unfortunately, some people going to be playing catch up, meaning the train going to be gone. And so it won't be, I'm going to catch the next train. You ain't even at the station. You're going to still have to get to the station. You're probably going to miss the next train, too. And you know how terrorists, there's an uneasiness when you feel like you missed a great opportunity. So let's say it was an investment. I have a friend that was like, he was told about a particular investment that's blown up now. It's phenomenal. And he was like, man, I knew about that. He's not dying, but he's like, ain't that a trip? I could be set if I'd have just jumped on that and could and had the ability to. You don't want the train gone. And then you go, oh, man. See, he tell me what he was telling me was the truth. And it wasn't optional. And I had to apply it right then. Man. So it won't be over. But now you'll be like, man. And the devil will be like, man, you done missed the train. Man, you might as well just suck it up, man. Stay here in the matrix and act like you with them. just pretend. If you stay here long enough, it'll feel just like you with them. Who wants to feel like they rolling? And now he's like, no, I want the real deal. Like who wants to feel like they had shrimp today? No, you want to eat the meat. You know what I'm saying? Like, slam on that stuff, right? So that's all I'm saying. Like, challenge yourself to see, even though it's going to be uncomfortable, but then challenge yourself to apply what you're getting. Just next best step from here. Everybody ain't going to walk on the water after today, but come on, take that step. Reset yourself. Some of y'all was disciplining yourself to read, and you stopped. Reset yourself to read more. Remember how you... This week. Remember how things was happening when you was reading? And look at how things are happening when you're not. I mean, you responded differently, saw differently, and I don't know what happens. I can't explain everything, but I know it's something about reading. Stuff just be happening. Great stuff just be happening. It seems like it's effortless. You know, you just keep showing up and say, well, God did this and God did that. You know, God did this. But what it was is you can see. So you're almost taking advantage of the pieces without even thinking about it. Now think about what happens when you don't read, when you get clouded, when you start feeding lust, when there's more TV than news, when you're binge watching as almost like it's a religion. Because you binge watching, like, it would take you a while to get through all the shows if you'd have missed the series, right? Right? Think of the difference. So again, challenging you, I know I'm taking a little bit of extra time, but just challenging us to fight to see. I know my shoestring untied. Yeah, I try to play that off a little bit, but if I took another step, I'd boom! I'd go like this, I'd walk like this. Right, so just challenging you. She is funny. Let's just see her laugh. All right, so challenge yourself to see. So that's so we're trying to get all the pictures to the pieces. I'm going to get into some other stuff. I didn't want to cross over into the dream section until we got the see section. Because if we don't see, we're going to miss on the dream. We're going to be dealing with a bunch of nightmares, but we ain't going to have a bunch of dreams. And dreams are designed to reveal the pieces to your picture before you even get there. It's advanced information. See, it gets to a point where you get, Jackie, you getting downloaded advanced pieces. Like on a regular basis, because you see clearly and you can even see in the subconscious. So when God gives you the, you know, some of y'all wake up and had the dream, got all the information, and just went about your day, business as usual. Didn't write down nothing. Didn't think about nothing. Didn't focus on nothing. But you was getting information. Imagine if Joseph did that or Jacob did that. Whoa, we'd be in trouble now. So God still communicates through dreams, but if there's a lot of distractions, you dream something, but you ain't even got time to focus in on it. Because here you go on to the next task and going to the next task and going to the next task, worrying about the next thing. And before you know it, you done missed an opportunity. God doesn't want that. All right, stand on your feet. That's enough for today.